My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into our Warriors Weekly Podcast. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz for 95.7 The Game, as always. And Steiny, just taking a look at the Warriors playing a little better basketball of late. We're recording this on Wednesday morning, so following the Mavs game. But the Warriors, even with the loss in the Mavs game, have won five of their last seven. And a lot of the issues that they had in the beginning of the season have been corrected, at least to the extent to where the Warriors have been able to get back to winning at a level we're all a little bit more used to. But just kind of the general takeaways, not necessarily from last night, but just from the last week and a half, and then relating that to last night's game.
I think they're playing a lot better. Matt, I think they're playing a lot better. They're 3-7 to start the year, and now they're back to 500. So I think they're playing a lot better. I think a big reason they're playing a lot better, obviously, is moving Draymond to that second unit. That seemed to help. But I thought at the first 10 games, it really did not look good at all. And it's because it didn't. But at that point, I'm thinking, well, there's nothing you can do now. You know, there's nothing you can do 10 games into the season. So, to me, there's no way they were as bad as they looked when they started the season. And so my feeling is, like, give this thing a couple months to stabilize. And it looks like it's starting to stabilize now. It's December 1st. So I'm, like, now I think we're in the process of – you give them 2 months. We're 1 month into stabilization, if you know what I mean. So you're going to give that till January 1st. So now, to me, over the next month, you can start to look at this team a little more realistically. Okay, how good are they? Because we've seen them play better. To me, just looking at the roster, there's something missing. I can't quite put my finger on it. But that's what the next month maybe is for. But clearly, they're now back in the mix of the however many Western Conference teams there are who are going to be competing to go to the NBA Finals.
I want to come back to something missing a little bit later on and get your take on that, because I tend to agree with you as you look at the big picture that the Warriors will probably get to a point in January or February where they say, well, there's something they're going to need to go out and add. I'm not totally sure who that kind of player is as of yet, but I do think they look to me to be a man short in terms of just a veteran rotation player that you're going to want to have in the playoffs.
Well, and you know, you can't mention this guy's name without the snicker, but in an ideal world, that would be Iguodala from 4 years ago or 5 years ago, but that's not the case. I mean, we see, to me, that's, to me, I think they figured out the best way they can play with moving Draymond to that unit. Yeah. Okay, you're gonna have the top six. You're gonna play DiVincenzo seven. You're gonna play Jermichael Green eight. You're gonna hopefully go Kuminga slash Lamb 9. And then, you know, the player after that could be Moody. It could be – who am I missing? I'm missing somebody there. But what I'm getting at is you figured that out, that part of it. And now you can – now you can see how many games you can win in December. And is that good enough? I mean, is that second unit good enough that I just mentioned with Kuminga, with DiVincenzo, with Jermichael Green, with Lamb? It sounds like that may have to get a little bit better.
Yeah, and look, Jonathan Kuminga, the last couple of games, and he's somebody else we can get into here on the podcast, and I had his name jotted down. You know, he's played much better in the last three or four games, which has allowed him to get more minutes and allowed him to help that group, which had already started to play better, sometimes with him in it a lot, sometimes with him in it a little bit. They've been able to figure out a way. I think you probably need a veteran that you can count on if it gets down to playoff time, let's say, and you can't necessarily count on Kuminga to play at the level that he played, say, in the Dallas game or in the last couple of games leading up to the Dallas game, because I could see the intent being that he's going to play that way, but he just doesn't have it for you, and you'd want to have another option to go to. Now, maybe that option is Iguodala, or maybe Iguodala's already playing in that option because they're ramping him up to be able to play in all these playoff games. I mean, that could be part of the equation as well, but I just feel like they are maybe not a regular season man short, but I think they're a playoff rotation player short. And that may even be in addition to Iguodala, unless Moses Moody or somebody else is going to find themselves into where we get to April and he's just in it in a way that Jonathan Kuminga looks like he might be in it for now, but we've seen that's been kind of fleeting with Kuminga in the past. Like Kuminga will have a couple of good games and then a couple of games later, we're like, well, why is he not playing? And it's because he's sort of reverted back to some of the problematic play that he's had in the past. I thought it was really interesting. I guess we'll just stick on Kuminga for a second and we can come back to the other stuff just since we went down that road. Steve Kerr called that game the best game Kuminga's ever played last night against the Mavs. The best game that he's ever played because it just impacted winning, whether it was defense and not trying to do too much offensively, energy, whatever it is. I thought it was his best game of the season. I don't know if it was the best game he's ever played for the Warriors, but it's clear Coach Kerr's trying to praise him for doing basically everything other than looking to score.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head to head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Four.
Yeah. You know, there's one guy you didn't mention when you were running down the list of players, and it's Lamb. Could Lamb be that player? I mean, he's quietly.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? I mean, he's got first dibs on it because he's there already right now.
Yeah, there's times for me where he looks like a G League guy. Like there's times it looks like his shot. He can't quite get his shot like he wants to, or he just looks a little, I don't know, overwhelmed by some of the athleticism. And then there's other games where he doesn't.
Well, and that's where maybe that's where it's Kuminga/Lamb. You know, there's games where Kuminga will help you with his athleticism and his ability to run the floor and you know, maybe offensive rebound at some point. And there are times when you're probably going to want Lamb, who's just a little more secure, a little more safe. But getting back to Kuminga's best game, he's played as a Warrior. You know, I don't think we can understate the reality of the situation that Wiseman and Kuminga and even Moody, they were so much further away than I mean, I kind of get defensive here because I don't want to say we all thought, but I guess we all thought. The idea that these two guys, particular Kuminga and Wiseman, were going to step into a championship rotation and be contributors in a top eight was so crazy that we shouldn't have even really entertained the thought unless both those guys turned out to be phenoms coming out of the, you know, coming into the league. So, you know, I don't know why I'm going down this road, but the whole two timeline thing, I'm starting to think about more and more because, and I asked Bob Myers this the other day, I was like, and he asked me, he's like, did I ever say something about two timelines? Like, did that ever come from the organization? And I thought, I don't think so. And he says, because I don't think I ever said it. And what I'm getting at there is, you know, I think there's a possibility that Joe Lacob basically drafted Kuminga and Wiseman for after Curry and this group. I mean, like, almost like, hey, if we get something early, great. But this is for down the road. And, like, you still think about Wiseman in his third year and he's still only 21, whatever he is. You know what? They ain't going to get – he ain't getting there in time. And Kuminga's barely going to get there. And now I don't know what's going on with Moody. So, I mean, I'm rambling here, but at the end of the day, I think they're going to need a veteran too. Another veteran coming off that bench is basically what I'm thinking. But I don't know what position.
Yeah, I think they've got enough to get through the regular season as long as everybody else stays healthy. I mean, that's the part that they really haven't had to deal with yet is Draymond Green's got to miss 10 or 15 games or Curry's got to miss three or four games and he's going to come back and then he might have to miss three or four games in March. And then, you know, even that level, I think would throw what the Warriors have figured out of whack pretty quickly, because I think there is a difference between asking a guy like Anthony Lamb to play 12 minutes a game. And, you know, there's some nights where he can make a shot and there's other nights where maybe it looks like the shot's a little difficult to get up. There's a difference between knowing you can pull Kuminga after 4 minutes or after 6 minutes, and then let's say with somebody being out, basically being forced to play him 25 minutes every single night, not just when he's playing well, like Steve Kerr did last night. He rolled him out there because he was playing well, and so he played more. So I do think it's a little fragile, I guess. It's working now, but it's fragile in the sense that if things start changing – and in the NBA, they inevitably will start changing at some point between now and April. You know, how does it look at that point? Can you hold it together at that point with a player or two out really at any position? And I think that's where you'd need the veteran presence to maybe even get through the regular season. I think you'd certainly need it in a playoff type scenario. But yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll say this, and you know, everybody could say, well, anybody's. Let's say somebody's going to be out a month. Let's say it's 12 games. Well, obviously, if Curry's out 12 games, that's the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
But I think where the Warriors find themselves now is if it's Klay, they're in a little trouble.
Yep.
If it's Draymond, they're in trouble. If it's Poole, they're in trouble. And if it's Wiggins, they're in trouble. Like, this team's set up right now to that, like, the pecking order's finally getting there. The minute one thing changes, and it doesn't necessarily have to be Curry, I think they become pretty vulnerable. They feel like they have much of a safety net if a player's going to miss 12 games. And that's the contrast from last year. Like, if I were to tell you right now that the Warrior player, that the big three, Curry, Klay and Draymond, are going to play as many games as they played last year, JD, I don't think they'd make the playoffs, the Warriors, because it would mean Curry would have to miss another 10. It would mean Klay has to miss,
right,
you know, another 30.
Yeah.
And Draymond would have to miss 25 or 30. Like, I don't think they could withstand that at this point right now.
Well, no, especially because you're looking at only, what, 60 games left. So you'd be –
I mean, yeah,
that would look really bad. And then that gets back.
And that's
to,
where
you didn't win enough. Well, you didn't win enough when you were healthy.
Yep.
And that's why the 3-7, while it doesn't look right now like it's going to kill them because they're back on track, we're also looking at a team that's been, by comparison, I think to most in the Western Conference, they've been healthier than some of these other teams to this point. And it still has only added up to the 11-11. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, Warriors Weekly Podcast here on 95.7 The Game. I want to tie off the bench conversation in this respect, and it relates back to Draymond because we haven't talked about this on the podcast. We've talked about it on the show, on your show when I filled in for Goo, but I think Draymond Green is right in the middle of really fixing the two biggest problems that the Warriors had. And one of those was the Klay Thompson problem, and the other was the bench problem. So we've laid out how he's helped stabilize the bench, and they figured out a group that they can play together. So Draymond, in essence, gets credit for fixing that. I'm also giving Draymond Green credit, going back to this team meeting, Steiny, for fixing the Klay Thompson problem by having the guts to basically tell Klay Thompson he was being selfish and needed to start playing a little differently, and did it in a manner where Klay Thompson, because he respects Draymond Green, rolled with it and changed his game to where, up until the Dallas game, he really had put 4 or 5 good games together in a row, and he did it by trying not to do too much. And I'll even give him – I gave him benefit of the doubt on the postgame show last night talking about Klay. Yeah, he misses the shot at the end of the night. He ends up not having a good game shooting the ball. He has 5 points. But he only took 9 shots. And you know what?
Right.
Like, on a night where he didn't have it two, three weeks ago, that would have been 3 for 17 or 4 for 20. And he wouldn't have cared. And the Warriors wouldn't have even been close in that game, because he would have shot him out of it completely. So I think, you know, maybe I'm making too much of it, but Draymond having the willingness to kind of lasso Klay in a little, you know, rein him in was I think as important as anything that's happened to this team to this point.
Yeah. With maybe the exception of the punch. Cause I think, you know, I'm thinking about that punch and we'll never know. Because I always think it kind of can come in, you know, it's a factor today, but it's not tomorrow. They fixed it. Like, I do think there's still mending to be done between the veterans and the young players. I'm not there every day, but it still just feels like that. And maybe, to me, I've sensed a little bit is it does feel like the veterans are reaching out a little more rather than we're champions, they got to come to us. You know what I mean? Like, we're not giving them anything.
Like, just in like the last week and a half, you think, maybe? Like, that part of the team meeting, maybe? Part of the conversation?
Just, you know, these guys are so competitive. There's, like, competitiveness within teams. And if the older guys are not respecting the younger guys, and the younger guys are thinking that the veterans are too hard on them and treating them unfairly, I mean, you know, you get that out into the open and both sides come to the middle, you know, that's big. So I still think there's work to be done there, and that can somehow, you know, intangibly show improvement on the court.
So what do you see from Clay then? Is it, I mean, because he clearly made the
adjustment. I'll tell you what. You know what? And we have Zaza Pachulia on today, and Zaza is a great friend of Clay's. And I have to ask him. You know, Clay is obviously a smart guy, and he was obviously, to everybody who's watched the Warriors, playing the wrong way to start the season.
And didn't
dare I say selfishly.
And didn't care.
Dare I say selfishly. So what I'm going to ask Zaza is, when it was brought to his attention, did Clay really not know? You can't tell me he didn't know that he was playing the way he was playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think he kind of knew and he didn't care. It was, but I think that's part of the selfishness, was that he needed to get himself going above everything else. And he knew if he got himself going, probably win. And then there was something going on there where, you know, I don't know whether maybe he thought in terms of, hey, this is the old days where we're so good that I can do this and we're going to still win enough, even though I'm doing it, and then I'm going to snap out of it. Like to me, like, and there has been this debate, I feel like, on some of the shows and social media with regard to, well, hey, was, you know, Clay just came around and he was always going to come around and he just worked his way through it. See, I completely disagree with that. He made an adjustment to his game going back to, I mean, it coincides with that game against the Knicks. Like, he changed the way that he was playing in terms of not shooting the ball as much and looking to pass it and take better shots. And that, and then
was that the game after Phoenix?
Yes, it was. And that was also the game before the, you know, the game right after the meeting,
right,
where Clay said that Draymond put it pretty bluntly to him. And and so, to me, like, this notion that Clay was just going to find it no matter what he did, to me, is just, it's just nonsense. And the evidence is right there in these last five or six games where you can clearly see he's gone about it a different way and deserves credit for that. But that's why he's had more success.
No doubt. I mean, absolutely no doubt about it. So I think, you know, this was, I always thought it was kind of a pointless conversation to talk about whether you would move Klay Thompson to the bench, because there was no way Steve Kerr was going to do it at this point in the season. But, you know, I guess, does Kerr get credit for not making that move?
I'm not sure that he does, to be honest, but I think, like, cause to me it was, and I agree with you, but I started to turn a little bit, because to me it was a matter of, well, something has to happen either Clay to get the message. And that's where it really addressed it after the Phoenix game, because I was in Phoenix and it was so bad. Like, to me, it was the kind of game where if you and I are on the team and you're doing it, you're Clay, and we go into the locker room at the end of the Phoenix game, I'm looking right at you like, dude, WTF? Like, what is your problem? Right. Why are you doing this? And you're coming at me, and I'm coming. Like to me, it was that bad, and we just gotten embarrassed again, and it's like, it's coming out. So whether that happened or to what extent that happened, I'm not sure. But the reason I became more open-minded to, well, maybe Steve Kerr has to do something, was because if nothing happened, I was convinced it was not going to change. Now, turns out Draymond Green may have been the one that had the guts, and I've said this a few times, to actually say something to Clay in a manner where you know, whether Steve Kerr said it and it didn't hit home, or like, I felt it was almost going to get to a point where the only thing Steve Kerr could do would be to bench him or to flip flop his minutes with Poole in an attempt to send a freaking message to him, because the words were not hitting home until apparently right. Draymond said it, and maybe the only the way Draymond knows how to say it.
Yeah, or Draymond was the tipping point of a few people saying it beforehand, and that pushed him over the edge. Because, yeah, look, I mean, and again, this is kind of what I'm talking about, and I don't know if it was the Phoenix game. Actually, I think it was when Steph Curry basically was asked about Clay, and he's got to let the game come to him a little
bit.
It
was.
I mean, we all know what that means. It means stop shooting the first time you get the ball. That's essentially what it means. We've all played basketball. It doesn't matter what level. When you say, hey, let the game come to you, it means quit shooting so much. let's put the rat on the table. So it was starting to build up. And, you know, it's funny. To me, I hear what you're saying about they would have gone 30 and 52 if nothing changed. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it was also the case of at some point something was going to change. You know what I mean? It couldn't continue. So if like I'm a big Klay Thompson fan, I'd be like, oh, see, I told you Klay was going to come around. And you could be like, well, he came around because he changed his game. Well, Eddie, it's Klay is Klay, man. He did what he has to do. That's why he's a champion, man. Well, you know, so everybody can win the argument, kind of.
Yeah, in a sense, although I do think, and I do want to make this point, like, and this is a silly conversation in a sense, but it came up last night on the post game show, so I'll kind of throw it at you. Is Klay back? Is Klay back? Or does he? Because the way I kind of put it was, yeah, he looks back right now, but you still got to have more good games than bad. Like, I can't declare Klay Thompson back until he's had more good games than bad games. And he still hasn't had more good games than bad games this year. So it's like, how are we like, give me at least if you've had 9 bad games and 6 good games, you know what? Give me 4 or 5 more good games and then I'll say, all right, you're back.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I mean, to me at this point, Klay is a daily monitor in terms of games.
Yeah.
I mean, every game is its own game. And, you know, like he's had, you know, whatever, 4 out of 5 good games. You know, he starts putting 3 out of 4 good games together, 4 out of 5. You know, then we got something. You put 11 out of the next 13 or 14 games and they're good games. Then over the next month, then I'll say it for sure. But, you know, not yet.
Yeah.
I mean, not yet.
And that's
– although his numbers, you know, his numbers are fine right now.
Yeah.
Because of his stretch.
Absolutely. And that's where I think, you know, the 18 to 20 point games where he shoots about 50% and he's, you know, 3 for 8 or 4 for 11 from 3. Like, those are the kinds of games that are probably going to, you know, if he has those games, the Warriors are going to win a lot when he has those kinds of games. It isn't only about the 41 point explosions. And I kind of felt that was part of, like, Klay felt like he needed, like, he was chasing that game to where he could declare himself back. And it's just like, for who? For what? Why does that matter? Like, just keep playing and the team will keep winning. And then those games are going to happen along the way if you're going about right. The right way. So all right. in all, things are trending in the right direction. And I'll even say last night, the fact that he was 2 for 9 and not 4 for 15 or 16 or 18, it was probably a little bit of a good sign.
And real quick here, you know, I think you were talking about Klay trending in the right direction.
Yeah.
But you might have met the Warriors, but that's what I was going to tack
both.
On.
Yeah,
I mean, the Warriors are definitely trending in the right direction. You know, I'm looking at that game last night, JD, and the two styles are staggeringly different. And I'm sorry, but the Warriors win 3 out of 4 of those games.
Yeah.
They're right. going to win 3 out of 4 of those games because you can't rely on Doncic like that night in and night out. I mean, and I guess this is where you say, well, they did last year and they got to the Western Conference Final. And yet, you know, like this is I think they're the Rockets 2.0. I think he plays very similar to Harden. And in terms of just the dominance of the ball. And it's like, I don't think he's going to really struggle to win that way. But I don't see any way they could play differently that gives him a better chance, either those Rockets teams or this Dallas team. So it's like you're kind of making a deal with the devil. It's like, I mean, he gives us a sliver of a chance to win it all, but probably not. But he's the best, like, it's the best we can play.
Well, their team also isn't great around him when I look at Dallas, and we don't have to spend too much time on that. But I guess, are you kind of saying, well, he has to be with a team full of guys like that because it wouldn't work right if he had better players?
No. I'm saying Harden supporting cast with the Rockets, to me, same kind of supporting cast as Doncic has.
I think you're right.
You've got it. You have to put the ball into your stars' hands all the time, let them make plays, and hope the role players are making shots.
Well, I had the same thought you did as far as the Warriors. Like, that's like, if that's a playoff series, you can see where it ends up being a 4-1 type of a playoff series in favor of the Warriors. That's a good way to wrap it up and looking at just real quick the Western Conference, because Dallas got the win to get to 10-10. You've had Portland, Utah, and even Sacramento, I'll throw in, had great starts. I think they were all some version of 10-4 to 10-6, somewhere in there. They've all basically given it back to 500 to this point when you look at them. The Warriors are not, you know, have not played as well as I think they view themselves as capable of playing, but they're right there at 500. I mean, what do you see in the – I mean, it – there might be 10, 11 teams. I think Utah and Portland are falling off. I'd be worried about Minnesota right now maintaining 500, especially with Towns going to be out for an extended period. I mean,
looks – you know what? Let's –
Phoenix, Denver, Memphis are top three of the top four. That looks about right, even though their records aren't maybe great.
I think Phoenix and Denver are above the rest. The Warriors can get up into that group with them. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And Memphis also. The question's going to probably be the Pelicans. Can they? I think they're 12-8 now. You know, can they be 25-15? And you're like, ooh, that may be a 50-win team. I'm not ready to say that yet. Here's one for you. I bet the Minnesota Timberwolves will start playing better. How about that?
I had that thought. I had a similar thought.
I think it's possible.
Yeah, because they shouldn't be playing the two bigs.
Right.
I could see that. Edwards starts playing better. Russell starts playing better. Now, I could see that. But all in all, Warriors are in a great spot. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway. And we'll continue to view it. Great stuff, Steiny. We'll talk to you next week.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to the Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.